ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। All right, so contents of the Gita summarized. That's chapter 2, text 35. So please repeat.
Vayarana uparatam mam shanti tvamaharata yesham cha tvam ahumato udvaryasya silagavam.
So please repeat. Vaya, out of fear. Ranat, from the battlefield. Uparatam, ceased. Mamshante, they will consider. Tvam, you. Maharata, sorry. The great generals. Yesham, for whom? Cha, also. Tvam, you. Bahumata, in great estimation. Hutva, having been. Yashyasi, you will go. Lagavam, decreased in value. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. Please repeat. The great generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only. And thus, they will consider you insignificant. Lord Krishna continued to give his verdict to Arjuna. Do not think that the great generals like Duryodhana, Karna, and the other contemporaries will think that you have left the battlefield out of compassion for your brothers and grandfather. They will think that you have left out of fear for your life, and thus their high estimation of your personality will go to hell. Om Gina Tividandasya Dhyana Gina Shalakaya Chakshur Omnitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamana Shri Guru Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupa Sagujantam Sahakana Gunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sahadvaitam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vitamcha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagalpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamani Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatirubhyascha Kripa Sundibhya Evacha Vaditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasani Govind Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Praya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamne. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurabhani Pracharini Nirbi se shasu ni wari pas chati na desi jati. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gulati Seinwa Ananda Nidamaya Vibhaya Imadhyo Divina Chavishu Nirvaya Tasbih Mahaprema Ras Padaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So here's the text again. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 35. You don't have to repeat. Vayarana uparata mamshyante tvam paharata. Sorry. Yesham cha tvam bahumato bhupayashyasilagavam. The translation by Srila Prabhupada. The great generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. Okay. So this is Sri Krishna speaking to Arjuna and telling him your reputation is on the line in so many words. Krishna says that in the battle of Kurukshetra there are great generals who have assembled. You, Arjuna, have a name out there. A lot of things have happened before this war, and you have become quite popular as a Kshatriya, a very renowned Kshatriya at that. And now, you're acting like you're going to run away. That's what it amounts to. Kshatriyas don't leave a battlefield. They either win, come back victorious, or they leave the body. And what are you, Arjuna, going to do? Run? What kind of Kshatriya are you? Basically, Krishna is actually challenging him. Challenging his reputation. He says, all these generals, I mean, can you imagine what's going to happen if everybody says, Arjuna ran away? Duryodhana will have a feast. He already wanted to have a way to hurt the Pandavas. Nothing could be easier than this situation being handed to him. Arjuna is a coward. That's it. He's done. In fact, he himself is fearful that Arjuna, if he fights, he can cause a lot of harm. Because what he's done with his Gandivo before that, people have already seen it. So why is he running away? Well, not quite. He himself in his heart was not running away. He was leaving out of compassion. But the other Kshatriyas are going to see it like he's a coward and he's running away. And so Krishna cautioned him, this is the reputation you're going to get. You might say, I don't want to fight these people because they are my relatives and they, you know, out of my heart, you know, compassion for them, I won't do it. But those that are going to fight you are saying, you are a coward if you leave. Now, they didn't know yet that he was going to leave. He was just talking to Krishna. So right now, the scene was Krishna and Arjuna talking. Arjuna didn't start off. The only thing they've seen is he put his Gandivo down and he seemed to be distressed. But nobody knew that he was going to try to leave. Okay, so at least he was still covered at that time. And Krishna just spoke to him in a very timely way. Don't go, because this is what's going to happen. They're going to look at you as a coward. Nothing worse than the whole Hastinapura getting the news, the gossip, if you like, that Arjuna, after all, when it comes to the big war, he runs away. Horrible reputation he's going to get as a Kshatriya. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport, Lord Krishna continued to give his verdict to Arjuna. In other words, Krishna continued to reason with him. Krishna doesn't force anybody. He doesn't even force us, conditioned souls. If you want to chant, you can chant. Is there one day that you didn't chant that Krishna would say you've done wrong? Mm-mm. You can do whatever you want. Even after he spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, in 1863, he says, I have said what I have to say. I'm kind of paraphrasing. Fully deliberate on it. Think about it. And you decide what you want to do. Even after Arjuna asked all the questions that he wanted to ask and got all the answers, Krishna still said, you decide. This one, though, was before the war, well before the war, and in terms of time. And he's telling Arjuna, don't think that the great generals like Duryodhana, Karna, especially Karna, Do you know that Paulo would be beaten handily by Arjun? And he knew that. He was going to fight anyway. But Karna believed that he could beat Arjun. So if Arjun runs away, and remember they had fought before, much generation, that time that they were in incognito, and Arjun came as Brihanala, looked like a woman. He fought Karna then. And he was able to repel Karna. Karna still wasn't satisfied though. So there's the big war coming, now Arjun is running away. Probably because of me. Now he knows I'm going to get him. So now he's running. So his reputation would have been absolutely horrible. So Krishna's, the great friend that he is telling Arjun, don't think that the great generals like Duryodhana, Karna, and the other contemporaries will think that you have left the battlefield because of compassion for your brothers and grandfather. They don't care anything about compassion at all. Now, maybe Bhishma, because there was so much love that was there. Now, he was compelled to fight, not that he wanted to, but he was compelled by the situation that he was in. Actually, it's deeper than that. Krishna used Bhishma to show everyone that even for a person that is as saintly as Bhishma, if you take the wrong side, you will be defeated. So Bhishma was used in that situation. Krishna wanted to prove that you have to be on the side of right, dharma, no matter who you are. So left to him alone, Bhishma himself, he probably would have backed out of all of this, or at least tried to prevent the war to begin with. He tried to, actually. But Krishna wanted the war because Krishna wanted a clean house. Too many demons, he had killed some of them. The Pandavas killed others. Bhima had killed a few kings, and still there were quite a few left. So then the whole assembly was put together, and then of course the war was to get rid of the demons, but at the same time give mercy to everybody that came to fight. Because Krishna explained in this particular chapter that we are not the body, we're the soul. In fact, a few texts before that, about 10 or so texts before that, chapter 20, text 22 to about 25, he describes the nature of a soul. You cannot burn it, you cannot break it, you can't do anything to it. And he's trying to tell Arjun, that's who we really are, the souls, not these physical bodies. Sometimes we need to remember that, even though Srila Prabhupada said it many times, we get so preoccupied with things that we need to do to keep the body going. We get preoccupied with that. We've got to be preoccupied with how the soul can be saved and gotten out of here. Because this is a house of correction. The material world is no place for us to be. There's suffering every time. We've just managed to keep things going, so sometimes we don't remember that we are in a suffering condition. Srila Prabhupada gave an example, like, good time to talk about it because it's winter, right? We're in winter now. A little warm today outside, but it's winter. And Srila Prabhupada gave an example that here in this material world, people think that when they are doing well financially and so on, then they have good reason to be happy. But he said there is no happiness here. It's still suffering condition. We just try to counteract the suffering. What we call happiness is just trying to counteract suffering. So he gave an example of winter and somebody having to go out, therefore they wear a winter coat. A rich person has a very nice looking winter coat. And people may see the winter coat and admire it and admire him for wearing it. But why is he really wearing it? Is he wearing it to show off? Maybe. But the actual reason is, well, let him take it off and try walking in there and see what's going to happen. He's going to be cold immediately. So the real function, the real reason why he's wearing the coat, nice or not nice, is to protect himself from the cold. That is actually what is going on. So if he has a very nice coat and you think the coat is very nice, so, all right, so the coat is nice. So what? You don't wear it, you're going to get cold. That's the real function. So basically, it's not that the code is so nice that we have to consider, but the fact is, he's trying to keep himself from a suffering condition. He's trying to keep himself from getting cold. And this is what most of us, I'm talking about devotees and non-devotees alike. Devotees understand better than non-devotees, but this is what we try to do. Another example Srila Prabhupada gave is, say you have a man with a rather heavy load on his back. The load is wearing him down. Actually, we are all invisibly carrying our heavy loads. It's always problems. And the load is a little bit off-center, so it's hurting one part of his back. And he sees somebody and says, can you please straighten my load for me, just dead center, so I can hold it, I can bear it a little better. And so if the person does it, and the load comes dead center, now the man feels relief that there isn't suffering on one side. But what should he really do? What should he really do? Put it down. Exactly. Put it down. So we are here trying to manage. But as Srila Prabhupada says, the biggest problems in the world are the ones that nobody's trying to solve. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Actually, who can solve it anyway? Not materially, you can't. You cannot. You cannot keep yourself from getting old. There's one, yesterday was another Krishna Katha that we're involved in. And that was about, it's also chapter 3, but it was about Krishna explaining that one, you know, uses one body, he gets old, gives it up, dies, takes another body, and that's where it goes on, perpetual cycle, on and on and on and on. And so, this is what's going on. If you're not going to take Krishna consciousness seriously, then your body, which is a material suit, dress, and it gets old, you get rid of it, and then another one, you start again as a baby, and then you grow up, the body changes a little bit, and then you become an adult. So we all go through basically three sizes. We know it very well. Small, medium, and large. When you're a baby, you have small. When you're a teenager, you do medium. And then when you get older, you're large. And then after a while, it starts coming apart at the seams. That's called old age. And after a while, you got to take it off. They, you know, as many tade, the tade hunter of property. A sober person, doesn't he knows he needs to have a dira. Dira is that the mujit. So, body changes, boyhood, little, small, medium, large. It's easier. Small, medium, large. Young, and then boyhood, and then to old age. And so, when the dress gets a little old, then it's time to start another one. Small, medium, large, and small, medium, large. Even if it puts you in another type of body that's not human, it's still small, medium, large. Little dog, medium dog, big dog. It's like that. And then the suffering just continues on and on and on and on and on. We cannot control anything here. We try to, especially non-devotees who are politicians, they think they can control things. Things have become very confusing in this country. Very confusing in this country. Everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else. I'm talking about the politicians. And other countries are pointing fingers at even those that were supposed to be allies. Now they're not quite sure whether they want to be allies or not. This is all going on. Now, Srila Prabhupada has put a reason there. Nobody that's a non-devotee is considering that reason. They're not even thinking that way. So much has been done that's harmful already, especially how the cow has been treated. The cow is a sacred animal. Even from the point of view of science, the cow, you read the hiatist, he makes a big case scientifically that the cow is better off for us alive than being killed for meat. But how many cows are being slaughtered? There's always repercussions for doing things like that. So we become violent towards the cow, The next thing is you become violent towards each other. And this is what is going on. But unless you're in Christian consciousness, you probably would never figure it out. That something like that could be one of the big causes of it. That kind of violence, Krishna's cause, there is going to be some sort of reaction. And so now people are being more brutal towards each other. And now it's going to a national level. And this country is trying to put this other country down. And this other country says that I want to be number one now. United States has been number one too long. So on and on and on. So, but devotees, what should we do? Well, we don't have any problem with the demons. Their program is very different from our program. Or I should say, our program is very different from their program. They are trying to control the earth. We are trying to leave the earth. So how do we come together? We don't intersect anywhere. Krishna wants us to go home. They want to stay here and control this place. Fine, you can have it. Along with the earthquakes, along with the cyclones, along with everything else that gives you hell. If you go back to Godhead, no anxiety at all. So we got to leave. We just have to take this seriously. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Speaking about the statement that Krishna made, telling Arjuna, you're going to ruin your highly esteemed name and fame because they will think, these generals, that you've left the battlefield out of fear. Sometimes we have to deal with fear ourselves. Unfortunately, it's part of life here on this earth. When we go to bed, we enter our rooms, the main door is closed. Why? Why not leave it unlocked? Well, somebody may come through, so we are fearful that somebody that's a criminal will come through the door. So we lock it. And if you're even more affluent, you put a gadget that can alert the police if somebody comes close or touches something and it goes off, an alarm system. Why do we do all of that? It's interesting when you go to places that the buildings are even more, you know, really grand. Like I remember some of the buildings in Potomac, Maryland. There were a lot of affluent people there. It's like the bigger the building, the more affluent it is, or the more decorative it is, the more locks are at the door. Not easy to get in. Not easy to get in. And then I remember when I was in graduate school, there's this family that I became friends with, family friend. They lived in a place called Stoughton, Massachusetts. And it was a very small country area. And practically everybody knew everybody. They go to bed, they don't lock the door. In fact, in the summer, they leave the door ajar a little bit for the cat to go out and in as it likes. Literally. Because I stayed overnight one time, and that's what I found out. So they didn't have any anxiety. Now, these days, I don't know whether they still do that. I have my doubts. But this is like in the early 80s, thereabouts, almost 30 years. So things are changing, but they're not changing for the better. Kali Yuga is such that things are going to go on and on and on and on. Now, we talked about old age a little bit. Now, there's also disease. Now, need I tell you the biggest fear of disease, yeah? Coronavirus has become a big thing now. I don't know. I don't listen to the regular news, CBS, I don't know what they're telling me. But, what they're telling people. But there's a lot of fear that a good bit of the population will be removed. Now, the population has gotten quite godless. Now, devotees associate with each other. We are very few in the whole world. But when we come here like that, it's like a lot of us are together. But if you compare that, our numbers to the 7 or so billion people in the world, we are very, very, very few who are taking not only God consciousness seriously, but also God consciousness at a transcendental level. At a transcendental level, which even religionists aren't doing. So, in one sense, we're very fortunate, but we need to share our fortune with others. Because if we are on our way to Godhead, and by the way, His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj said, if you say yes to Krishna, you are going to go to the spiritual world. Everybody that says yes to Krishna goes to the spiritual world. The only thing is, would it be after you leave this body, or the next one, or the third one? But you will definitely go. Because Krishna arranges that if you don't make it, the next time, whatever it is that was in the way of you going last time, they will make sure that it's out of the way. If it was a money issue, it will be dealt with. You can be born in a wealthy family, so that money is not an issue anymore. You worked two jobs, therefore you didn't have a chance to chant because you were always tired and you didn't make it. Okay, well, that's, and then, but you were serious somewhat about Krishna consciousness. Next time they put you in a situation where money won't be such an issue. And so then if you take your Krishna consciousness seriously, without money being an issue, then you have a much better chance of going. Or maybe there was just too much interest in materialism. Therefore, we didn't take the process so seriously. They can put you into the next life into a family of very fixed up devotees. So that in a young age, even when you're in the womb, you're hearing kirtan and bhajan and everything. You just, you know, immediately. And then, of course, Narada Muni also says that whatever you're able to take spiritual credits in last life will not be erased. You can continue. There is no loss or diminution. You can continue. And also, you are in fixed up your family, then you can just go on. So Krishna arranges out of His love for us to keep going closer and closer and closer to the point where He'll say, all right, you've tried hard enough and you get the mercy and you go back to Godhead. So we have a good, very good opportunity to go. That we have to take it seriously. And Krishna also requires that we help others to go. In other words, this isn't going to be one where we only consider ourselves, but we also have to consider trying to get other entities on their way back to Godhead. And it's not too surprising that Krishna would think that way. Krishna owns everyone. Everyone's part and parcel of Him. So you're just as important to Him as the other person. As the other, even an entity in a non-human body. The plants, they're all important to Krishna. And so when we help, this is how our devotion actually gets better and better. The more we help others, the more Krishna will be pleased with us and help us to grow. Now, others does not mean only human beings. We can help the other types of souls in non-human bodies too. It's not that difficult. Take one example. So we prepare food, bhoga, offer to our deities at home, and of course in the temple also. And say, let's take the home situation. Most of us are grihasthas. So after the Lord eats, we take the Lord's special plate. We take the water. And then of course, that's Mahaprasad. We add it to the rest of what we've cooked. And then we take after the prasadam prayer. So this is what we do. Now, when we take the Lord's Mahaprasad, you can take the water, and certainly you can drink it. True, you can drink it. But remember, there are other souls in non-human bodies, like trees and plants and so on. That's their food. The water is their food. And so if you're kind enough to give the water to the plant, now you've been drinking day in, day out, you've been drinking Mahaprasad water anyway. So one time, just give to a plant. Go outside and pour it on a plant close to where you live. What happens is that the Mahaprasad water is food for the plant. That plant, that soul, will take a human birth the very next life. That's how powerful Mahaprasad is. The water you give to the plant, they take a human, and I checked with two sannyasis about this, they said, yes, it is true. So normally, the sequence of going from a non-human body to a human body is, the lowest is the aquatics, those in the ocean, the fish and so on. And then, on land, the trees, the non-moving ones, trees. Passes, and then they move, which means the insects. And then from insects, we go to the birds, and then the birds to animals, and then from the animals to human beings. So if you give water to a plant, that's in the tree, it jumps not only the tree level in the next life, but the insect level, the bird level, the animal level, and goes straight to a human. That's how much mercy you're giving to that plant just by giving Mahawata. Even a few drops of Mahawata. And not only that, they become a human next life, and they also start, they will be open to Krishna consciousness. So you can do that with the Mahawata. In the summertime, right now it's a little cold, so you won't get anything like ants and so on. They have just found a way to, you know, get away because of, at least protect themselves from the cold. But in summertime, that same Mahaprasad, you can take a little bit of the actual prasad, not the water, the actual prasad, go across the street and put it behind the tree. They'll get to it. The ants will get to it. The bees will get to it. And every one of them that eats a little bit of that gets to take birth as a human next life and start with the consciousness. It's very easy to do. And if you do that, you're helping more souls to get into Krishna consciousness. Not only book distribution, you can something like this can help the non-living entities. The non-living entities cannot read any books anyway. They can't chant and they can't come to you. I mean, so if you help them, Krishna becomes very, very pleased. The more we help people, the more we help people and also the those in the non-human type bodies. If we're compassionate enough to remember to do something that simple, but that effective, that soul in the non-human body is of the same quality as the souls in our bodies. Don't think that at the soul level that we are better than them. We're not. It's the same type of soul. Same quality. So he's also looking to get out, but it's in a far worse situation because he can't chant. He can't be religious in any kind of way. So if we help them, then Krishna will actually help us by, you know, whatever troubles that we have in our devotee life, it will help to clean all of that out, our consciousness and so on, so that we grow and grow and grow, giving us an opportunity to get the mercy to go back to Godhead. So this is really a wonderful opportunity if we will take advantage of it. Very simple thing to do. All right. Good, it's 5:20. All right. So I think we'll stop here so that we can open up for more questions. So the text again is
Bhayarama Ranan Paratam Mamshante Twam Maharata Yesam Chatwam Mahumato Budpaya Shasi Lagavam.
The great generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. So Krishna is trying to protect Arjuna's reputation. Jevapal ki.
Yeah.
Are there any questions? We have about 9 or so minutes. Any questions or comments? You want? Okay. So, yeah. No, what to do? Kali Yuga is, and it's a very important question, a very relevant question. He says that at the time of the Kurukshetra War, we're getting to the end of Dwapara Yuga. It was Dwapara Yuga then. Krishna said, kill these people. And now we're in Kali Yuga, which means the life is even worse in terms of, you know, anathas and so on. People do, you know, so what to do? Even if in Dwapara Yuga they have been sentenced to be killed, then shouldn't it be worse in Kali Yuga? That's the point he's making. Well, the answer is yes, it should be if you go about it the linear way. But then the exception is none other than Lord Chaitanya. Changed the entire equation. He came with mercy. Srimati Radharani's compassion. That is Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. So rather than kill, he decided to give mercy. So he's killing, but he's killing the wrongdoing. He's defeating the mind so that the mind will be in the right position. So yes, if you go by linear way, then you just kill less in Satya Yuga, little more in Treta Yuga, more in Dwapara Yuga, a lot in Kali Yuga. You can look at it like that because the sins get worse and worse and worse and worse. But the Lord is merciful. So rather than do that, a little over 530 years ago, he appeared. Now, it may not happen every time because he appears in one day, in the day of Lord Brahma, once in the day of Lord Brahma. But this time, we're very fortunate that recently, now, the yoga thing is 4,320,000,000 years. And he came only about a little over 500 years ago. So it wasn't that long at all. And rather than kill those who deserve to be killed because they're doing wrong, he's changing their minds by giving the mercy in the form of Krishna in his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So actually we're fortunate. All sinners should have been killed. That makes the point. Should have been. But because there's mercy, the Lord gives mercy, then people are not being killed. So Madhu Maharaj said to me, actually, he wrote a poem. And in a poem, this is Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he said, the Lord's department of mercy is greater than his department of law. The department of mercy is greater, far greater than the department of law. Because if he had to actually get at us with what we did and what we deserve, none of us would go back to the spiritual world. None of us. Unless those who are Nityasiddhas who came here. And they're not prisoners anyway. We wouldn't qualify to go back. And so the mercy factor is there. And how do we earn the mercy? By putting in effort. The more effort we put in, and the less offensive we are, better yet not offensive at all, no apparat, then we have a much bigger chance of going back. Now, the rule of thumb for apparat is, don't do anything to let another devotee feel uncomfortable. That's all. Don't make other devotees feel uncomfortable. In other words, when you have to present something, present it with mild words. Not cutting words that, put people down. So you have to learn to use mild words. There's a lot of mild words. You can take maybe a couple of examples. And that's not even from me directly, but it's from, one was from Balabhadra Prabhu and the other one from Mother Kalini. I'll start with Mother Kalini because that one she talked to me directly. So I was very new. I was in Giranagri. And new means just newly initiated and didn't know much. And I'm in a farm community. I'm a city guy. I've never been in a farm. But I followed my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, because he went to Giranagri. So I went to Giranagri. My wife and I were actually serving him directly, living in the same building that he was living in. So you can expect that we did some service, and some of them we made mistakes. And Mother Kalini is very experienced, a disciple. And so one time she sat me down and she began to point out the things that needed correction. She never got on me that you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. No, she didn't approach it like that. She says, you do this, you do this. And when she points it out, I can tell that it's because I did it the other way. So I can tell, you do this, you do that, and you do this. And when he finished, she said, just make sure you keep it in mind. That's it. She never offended me. Just keep it in mind. And she walked away. Now I've got all my instructions, no offense. Balabhadra Prabhu, I just overheard him talking with my god brother called Sarachar. left the body about 3 years ago. Saratai was also a city guy. He came to Irinagi. He was given the service to take care of the cows. He never handled cows in his life. So you can imagine all kinds of mistakes. But he did his very best, though. He did his very best. And a few devotees helped him out. So Balabhadra Prabhu, who is cow protection, he's quite an expert in taking care of cows, came to Giranagri and helped him out and watched what he was doing. And so after a while, they came to the place where Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was at, because he was going to give darshan. And so a lot of devotees had gathered. And Saratai was sitting, Balabhadra Prabhu was next to him, and I was pretty close to both of them. So I could overhear what they were saying. And that's how I picked up, you know, how Balabhadra Prabhu spoke to. So many corrections needed to be made. Okay. So then he took it one by one. He says, if you do this, if you do this. He never said, that's bad. He just said, if you do this, if you do that, there's concern. If you do this, there's, he kept using the word concern. So he replaced bad with concern. And concern is a mild word. So then Saratai could just hear everything, you know. And I just ate it up quickly. I was actually used concern rather than bad, you know. So mild words are there. You can use, in fact, you can pray about just the point of using mild words. And Srila Prabhupada says, if you do such and such and such, many of you may know that. So he uses the word, you know, the phrase, will not help us. So he says, will not help us. He used it a lot. Rather than say it's a bad thing to do, he will say it will not help us. Also another mild way to say things. So if you stay on the mild side when you talk, you're not going to offend anybody. Even though you make your point. Hare Krishna. We have 1 minute. One last question. Yes, yeah.
You talked about how we are pulling the weight because basically
Actually, we don't have a choice. Not much of a choice.
What's the best way to drop away?
What's the best way to drop away that's behind our backs in the material world? Chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, when we get more interested and serious about Krishna consciousness, the weight will be there, but we really won't feel it. We will not feel it. Because when our hearts are open to Krishna consciousness, we feel happy inside. Therefore, as Krishna said, happiness and distress, just be equipoised. They come, they go. So the weight will be there, but we won't actually feel it so much. And then, of course, when the last time Krishna comes to take us away, we get out of this body, then he drops the weight, definitely. And we're going back to Godhead. So that's our situation. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki, Rankana Shmat Bhagavad ki, Itai Gora Pemanande. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy, Lucy's mercy.
Very nice.
Hare Krishna.